From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Hurricane Irene has been lashing North Carolina's coast, with high winds and rain falling in sheets that windshield wipers can barely keep up with. Irene is maintaining Category 1 winds of 85 miles an hour. It's creating storm surges in coastal towns, and the hurricane has now claimed at least one life. More on the scene in North Carolina from Will Michaels of North Carolina Public Radio.
15-foot waves have been crashing down on the fragile Outer Banks. Major highways are covered with sand and water as residents are being forced to hunker down and wait out the storm. Governor Bev Perdue says emergency teams are ready to move out.
I want the people of North Carolina to listen up, if they would. Those who are affected by the storm, please stay inside. We've had reports of folks who are beginning to venture out, you endanger your safety and the safety of the first responders who might come to try to rescue you.
Forecasters say high winds extend into central North Carolina. Police say a man walking outside his home was killed by a falling tree limb 150 miles inland. For NPR News, I'm Will Michaels in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
The National Hurricane Center in Miami says this storm is so massive it will be felt in Canada.
The storm will stay right on the center, will stay right on our coast through the evening tonight, and then tomorrow morning go up the coastline of the Jersey Shore and then make landfall in extreme western Long Island and move inland over New England and eventually off into Canada.
Bill Reed, National Hurricane Center Director. Government hurricane hunters have taken to the skies to gather data about Irene. Bobby O'Brien of WUSF has more from Tampa.
Every 12 hours, a NOAA turboprop plane crisscrosses the eye of Hurricane Irene, measuring wind speed and air pressure. The plane also drops sensors that transmit back the ocean's temperature. NOAA Deputy Administrator Catherine Sullivan says flying into the storm is necessary because data from land-based radar and satellites is limited when the hurricane is over water.
So this is getting inside and taking the heartbeat and the temperature of the storm while it's cooking, so we can make sure that the models have that richness of information and can refine the outcomes.
NOAA has other aircraft ready to fly after the storm to gather data to help assess the damage. For NPR News, I'm Bobby O'Brien in Tampa.
New York Mayor Bloomberg has ordered more than 250,000 people to evacuate low-lying areas, including Battery Park, the Rockaways, and Coney Island. But like Maxine Wilkes, many aren't sure they'll go.
We might be better up here. People running to the Bronx, they're running to Queens. Those places might not be the safest place.
At the same time, the subways are shutting down. This is NPR. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is telling 6,500 active duty troops to be ready to help with Hurricane Irene relief work. The Pentagon says Panetta issued a prepare-to-deploy order for troops from all branches as the storm moves up the East Coast. An initial green light has been given for a U.S.-Canada oil pipeline. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, U.S. officials say there's no evidence so far the pipeline will have a significant impact on the six states it will cross.
The pipeline will carry Canadian crude oil from northern Alberta to refineries along the Texas Gulf Coast. According to the U.S. State Department, there will be no major risks to the environment. But activists fear the pipeline could increase demand for oil from Alberta's oil sands, described as the dirtiest oil in the world because of the greenhouse gas emissions associated with its extraction. They also claim U.S. officials have not fully assessed the risks and have failed to study pipeline safety measures or look at alternate routes that would avoid a crucial source of water in Nebraska. Activists on both sides of the border say the project is a disaster waiting to happen. Supporters say the pipeline will create thousands of jobs and help end U.S. reliance on oil from the Middle East. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
In his weekly address, the president is calling on the nation to come together in a spirit of unity. Mr. Obama appealed for cooperation in a period of serious financial stress. He asked Americans to rekindle the spirit of unity that characterized the days after the 9/11 attacks. Senator Dean Heller of Nevada delivered the GOP address, their message, it's time for a balanced budget constitutional amendment and less government. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.